The Vaikuntha planets are also surrounded by various airplanes, all glowing and brilliantly situated. These airplanes belong to the great Mahatmas, or devotees of the Lord. The ladies are as beautiful as lightning because of their celestial complexions, and all these combined together appear just like the sky decorated with both clouds and lightning. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It appears that in the Vaikuntha planets, there are also airplanes brilliantly glowing, and they are occupied by the great devotees of the Lord, with ladies of celestial beauty as brilliant as lightning. As there are airplanes, so there must be different types of carriages like airplanes, but they may not be driven machines, as we have experience in this world. Because everything is of the same nature of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, the airplanes and carriages are of the same quality as Brahman. Although there is nothing except Brahman, one should not mistakenly think that there is only void and no variegatedness. Thinking like that is due to a poor fund of knowledge. Otherwise, no one would have such a misconception of voidness in Brahman. As there are airplanes, ladies, and gentlemen, so there must be cities and houses and everything else just suitable to the particular planets. One should not carry the ideas of imperfection from this world to the transcendental world and not take into consideration the nature of the atmosphere as completely free from the influence of time, etc., as described previously. Hare Krishna. So I just wanted to mention also, thank you, Rupa Vilas Prabhu, for your nice introduction. I was temple president of Berry Place in 1971, just 1 year. And there I got to meet many wonderful devotees. Having joined in San Francisco earlier, I was friends with, of course I say friends with, but they were my senior godbrothers and godsisters, all the three couples. I guess Gurudas was here 2 days ago or some days ago. So you know Gurudas. And so Gurudas and Jamuna and Shamsundar Malati and Mukunda Janaki, they were the devotees that I looked up to. They were, of course, Mukunda was like, he had joined long before me, something like 6-8 months. And Shamsundar, but they were all older than me, except Malati. And some of them were, had joined like 2-3 months, and they took a lot of responsibility. So I learned from them. One time Malati said, she took charge of serving prasadam to all the local people. They would come in around noontime or something. So I was sitting there taking prasadam. Malati got up and said, you should give donations. Why aren't you giving donations? You're just sitting there taking prasadam. And Jayananda and my husband are the only ones giving donations, so Jayananda and Shamsundar. And I just shrank down in the corner. I was thinking, yeah, I should do something. So I was embarrassed. So from then I tried to do something. So yes, that time I took over for Tribhuvanath. Tribhuvanath was about 18, 19 as temple president. Because Shamsundar, Malti, Jamuna, and Gurudas had gone to India, Mukunda, Janaki had gone back to the U.S., so I asked Shamsundar if he needed somebody to go to London. So I took over for Tribhuvanath. He was only, as I said, 18, 19, so I was so much older. I was about 23, and much... So, yeah, he went to, I think, Glasgow. And It was a wonderful time here in London, trying to develop Krishna consciousness here. So I have very fond memories of that time. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about the variegatedness of Vaikuntha, and he cautions. He says, of course, that everything is Brahman, but then cautions against, so therefore it's not like the concept that we understand here. It's not the airplanes and all of the features there, the personalities. They're not like in this material world. And he also says, in spite of everything being Brahman, we should not misunderstand that everything is just one. There is variegatedness in Vaikuntha. I wanted to transition a little bit to something that's very dear to my heart. 8 o'clock till 8:30, right? So I wrote these books on the environment. I become somewhat an expert on not the environment, but Vaishnava culture. The Vaishnava culture's solution to environmental issues. So at the heart of Vaishnava culture is Bhagavad Gita. So we can present Bhagavad Gita, philosophy, and the Vaishnava culture as a practical expression of that Bhagavad Gita. And the pan-Vaishnava culture, which is hundreds of millions of people, in contrast to modern culture, which is destroying nature. The Vaishnava culture has a long history of living in greater harmony with nature. So I'm presenting that in this big book. Took a long time to write, 2 years, working every day, and it contains quite a lot. And then the summary is this book. So that's my sort of advertisement. But I wanted to talk now about a story, something that I mentioned in the book. And how does it relate to this section of the Bhagavatam, this chapter? This is a story about Lord Brahma and his encounter with Lord Vishnu. So if you remember, toward the beginning of the chapter, we learned that Brahma had a sort of dilemma, and which is good for story, because there must be a dilemma or a conflict or a tension in every story. So Brahma had a dilemma, and he was meditating for 1,000 years of the demigods, long time. And then he heard ta and pa, tapa. So then he performed tapa, austerity. And then Vishnu appeared, and now we're reading about the Vishnu appeared and displayed the Vaikuntha planets. Brahma was able to witness this Vishnu's Vaikuntha planets. So we're now today discussing this one aspect of the Vaikuntha planets. And we see, if we maybe close our eyes or imagine, that there are these airplanes flying, and not machine airplanes that have to go loudly through the sky, as Prabhupada says here in the purport. These are not machines that are sort of artificially thrusting themselves to the sky, these gross jet airplanes, but these are wonderful airplanes being flown by the residents of Vaikuntha, and they're glowing, all these personalities are glowing, and the Mahatmas that Prabhupada describes as devotees. So these devotees are Brahma is witnessing these devotees, And the ladies are also, they have beautiful complexions, and they're also glowing like lasat, savidyut. They have complexions like lightning. And so they're assembled. It says in the verse that they're all assembled there, yatha nabha, like clouds. And like there's clouds and there's lightning. Such a beautiful image. Sorry, I'm not doing it justice here. But so this beautiful image that Brahma is experiencing. Now, story. The entire culture, the Vaishnav culture, not just the not just northeastern India Vaishnava culture. I said northeast India the other day, and people expect to hear Bengal Vaishnavism. But in those days, Bengal was northeast India. Bengal, Orissa, some part of Bihar, Bangladesh. So huge area, northeast India. So this is northeast Indian Vaishnavism, and then throughout India, the Vaishnavas, at the core of Vaishnava culture is the Bhagavatam, the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful Bhagavatam. So everybody knows, everybody in India, even non-Vaishnavas, they know the stories of Prahlad Maharaj, and everyone in South India knows that there's Narayana lying down in the Garbhodak ocean, and Lord Brahma is coming out of the lotus, seated on the lotus. Lakshmi is there by his side. Everyone in India knows this image of, and here we're talking about the story of Brahma. So these are the stories that the Vaishnavas relish. These are the stories that the Vaishnavas enjoy. Enjoyment. Prabhupada once told me that in the villages, the Brahmanas, that all the villagers go to the Brahmanas in the evening or in their time off. They go to the Brahmanas' house for entertainment. And I was so surprised to hear that. I thought, for entertainment? Don't they go for knowledge? But these are just simple people. They want to be entertained. They want to enjoy. So these Bhagavatam stories are meant to give entertainment and enjoyment. Not everyone can understand the lofty philosophy. But another thing the stories give is values. Values may be an awkward word, but I like that word, values, because to me, a set of values is dharma. So these are religious, we could say religious principles, but I feel that in modern language, people understand values better than religious principles. It's a little sort of awkward in the modern vernacular. So values, these stories contain values. And what is the value, the most important value that we're learning in this chapter? It's tapa. And Prabhupada talks about tapa. And later in the chapter, shall I give a little spoiler here? I don't want to get too advanced. You know, there's restrictions, right? You're only supposed to talk about this verse. So So later in the chapter, Vishnu says that I am tapa. It's amazing that here's this, first this sort of value that we learn from Brahma. Vishnu is giving this tapa, and Brahma takes it up. He says, well, I better do this. I better take this up, meditating and performing tapa. And so we learn that, and then Vishnu really adds gravity to this. I am Tapa. So this is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. And of course you'll learn as you continue. Of course you already know, I'm sure, but wonderful sort of recap. So these stories, and we have the story with values. Then in the modern world, there are also stories. Of course, we're exposed to many mundane stories, Romeo and Juliet, and King Henry V, and so these are old stories. We have modern stories about this character and that character. And these are all sort of mundane mysteries and dramas and murder stories and romances. But then the scientists also tell stories. They want us to believe that the creation was a big bang and it took place somehow and it unfolded. And the biologists and evolutionists want us to believe that evolution took place in a certain way, everything evolved. So whether or not these stories are true, that's another thing. I don't want to address that point just now, but these stories are devoid of values. They say, oh, we're just curious about these things and we want to find out about the reality of the world. What is, we scientists are the best ones to give an accurate description of physical reality. I'm not making this up. This is generally what scientists communicate. We can give the most accurate description of physical reality. So, and they say we're curious about this. So what is the harm in being curious and finding out about the physical universe and communicating that to the public? Well, this is the harm. You communicate something without values. Where are the values in your communications? And as a result, the population is devoid of guidance. They have science and technology, but what to use these things for? I know. Why don't we use science and technology to enjoy, satisfy our senses, and we'll take from nature, because nature is ours. The sun gives us free light, and the earth gives us free oil, and we'll just take this. And the forests are free also. We have no values, so who's to say who these belong to? So we'll take all these things, and as a result of our taking, destruction, destroying the environment. Now, is that physical reality? Think about it. Science is saying that we are describing physical reality. But something is missing in this description. Would you say that it's reality? Would you say that it's part of the truth to destroy nature? No. The complete truth is to have values that prevent humans from destroying nature. So therefore, when we get stories from the Bhagavatam, from the Upanishad, we get messages like Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagat yang jagat tena tiktena bhunjita magradakasya sudhanam. Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord. And we shouldn't... Hare Krishna. We shouldn't use these things. Jai Radha Gokulananda. Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Jai Gaur Nitai. And we use these things in relation to Krishna. Prabhupada explains in his purport that the Supreme provides us enough for our maintenance and for liberation. So this is what we're meant to use. But the people of the modern world, they think that because they have no values, they're not being taught values in their stories. Now they say our stories are myths. But who is telling the lie? They're lying to us by not giving the complete story, which is a story that contains values. So here we have in this chapter a story with this wonderful value, tapa. Fantastic. Without tapa in society, Vaishnava society has three ashrams out of the four that they're specifically for tapa. Brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Of course, not everybody's in these ashrams. So then there's householder. But within the householder ashram, there's also tapa. The householders give lots of money for celebration of Krishna's leelas and namas, Rathyatra and all these festivals. So this is austerity, to give up the results of one's labor. Such an austerity. So there's this theme of tapa in society. Society cannot operate properly without that theme. We can experience directly. We have physical evidence. That's the scientists want to see. They want physical evidence. That's the pratyaksha. You're in the Bhakti Shastri. Who's learning Bhakti Shastri? And have they taught pratyaksha? Pratyaksha anumana shabda? Yes, so everyone knows pratyaksha. So the scientists, that principally they're concerned with pratyaksha, the things that they see. So based on observation, experimentation, testing, so this is what they see. But it's incomplete. It's not the truth. So Bhagavatam has the truth. These are not myths. So even if they don't want to believe the description of Vaikuntha, they must believe that the Bhagavatam has values. And they have the choice. You can have faith in your stories. Of course, they say this is not faith. Oh, no, we don't. These are true. No, it's faith. You have faith in these stories. We have faith in our stories. And our stories, along with the beautiful story of Brahma and Vishnu meditating for 1,000 years and tapa, right woven in the story is this wonderful value of tapa. So this is what I like to do in my explanation of the environment. And I say that all devotees are environmentalists. No chastisement. Nothing. You don't need to improve anything. You're already trying to improve. You're working to follow Bhagavad Gita more and more, all devotees. So doesn't matter, pure devotee, not pure, little mixed with materialistic desires. But because a devotee is taking part in the Vaishnava culture and is reading these stories and learning these values, a devotee is an environmentalist, a better environmentalist than these other environmentalists. the environmentalists in the modern world, what is their solution? Their solution is technology, improved technology, laws, treaties among countries. They talk about the three R's: reduce, recycle, and reuse. Yes. So these are just their slogans. And what is the ultimate purpose of their environmentalism? They want to somehow arrange the situation so they can continue to enjoy this world. They're so attached to thinking that they can control and enjoy nature. They try to invent values so that they can continue their enjoyment. But devotees have the right orientation, this idea that we can enjoy the stories that teach us values, and we can try to follow these values, like tapa. So devotees are natural environmentalists, ishavasimidam sarvam. These people have all these ideas. You have to do this or that, plastic, all these things. They ban plastic in some place. Who has the solution to all these islands of plastic that are floating in the Atlantic and the Pacific? They'll never solve the problems without a culture like Vaishnava culture. They say, well, we don't want to go back to the old traditional ways. You people are talking about traditional culture. We don't want to go back. So now, in England, I come here and I'm staying with Rubalas. The house is very cold because it's costly. The electricity is very costly. So we don't want to go back to the traditional culture. But nature will force us to go back. He'll make us too cold, too hot. I have to suffer some inconvenience. There won't be any more petrol. So I'll have to stand in line for petrol. I'll have to pay instead of whatever it is currently. What is it, about 20 pounds per liter? I don't know. So it will go up to 100 pounds per liter. So in this way, we'll be forced to reduce. We'll be forced by nature. This is just, how will it happen any other way? We can't continue, modern society can't continue to exploit like that. So devotees will be ready. We were discussing, Ruvalas, Sharbihari and I were discussing, we all experienced life in Vrindavan, life in India, simple life in the temple. So, okay, it's a little cold, a little inconvenience, but we can adjust to it much easier. People complain and they say, oh, it's the government, let's have a different prime minister, or let's have a different party or something. They'll just complain, because they don't have their enjoyment. So those in the Vaishnava culture are true environmentalists. So what I urge you to do is, those of you especially who are preachers and teachers, don't change anything. Just add this component. Just tell people, we are the true environmentalists. We follow Bhagavad Gita. We enjoy these stories that give us enjoyment. We don't truly enjoy all these things that people are getting from nature, exploiting nature. So many things they're getting, sucking the oil out of the earth, being so addicted to the energy. The energy is Shakti, and Krishna is Shaktiman. So we know that. We are the true environmentalists, so we can communicate that to others. And it's the time to do that, because it's really an enchanting, attractive component of Krishna consciousness, of Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes, sir.
But to protect the environment at the moment, the World Economic Forum have brought in an agenda with these 15-minute smart cities.
I'm sorry, you have to speak up.
The World Economic Forum, They've brought in an agenda worldwide for the 15-minute cities. The 15-minute cities are...
15 million?
15 minutes. Minutes. Yeah, time, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So what they're proposing is that everyone's going to live within 15 minutes of a walk where everything's going to be at your convenience. Mm-hmm. So they won't want you to travel outside of that zone. So they're going to put certain districts into zones. Mm-hmm. Now, they propose this to start a pilot scheme in Oxford. Now, this is to save the planet. But for the people, they were suggesting that you will get 100 passes a year to maybe travel outside of your zone. Mm-hmm. Anybody outside will be able to have 25 permission to come 25 times into the zone.
So what's your conclusion? What's your purport as a Vaishnava? What's your
perspective? As a Vaishnava, I was just wondering your view. Is this something that you would see that would be saving the environment, that is a good thing?
The Europeans, Americans, Australians, they're the ones that are responsible primarily for the destruction of the environment. They lead the world. So these kinds of European solutions are not appealing to the Asians and the Chinese. Asians, all the Asians, South Asians, Chinese. So it won't work. That's just one reason I'm mentioning, that there are many reasons why it won't work. The liberals tend to have solutions. The conservatives don't like those solutions. This is what you're saying is a restriction. Laws bring about restrictions. In the United States, we know about laws that bring restrictions. In the 20s, there was a restriction on alcohol consumption, and that didn't work. People don't like to have their sense gratification restricted. But if we have our own values that we strive to achieve, we want to restrict sense gratification. It goes in the Vedanta system, in the yoga system, the Buddhists, the Jains, the Hindus. They all know about restrictions. But in the West, we've forgotten about these kinds of values. So that's another reason. One, not everyone is going to go along with these. Europeans tend to be liberal suggestions. And different parts of the world will object. Imposing restrictions on people won't work. These are just some reactions I mention in the book here. And for these typical solutions. Another thing that I mentioned earlier in the talk is that these solutions tend to originate from the desire to continue to enjoy nature and the environment. There is a movement called ecocentric. They find that we're too focused on humans. We should become devoted to the ecology, to nature. So, yet again, they're trying to introduce another religion, and they want all the religions to join them in this ecocentrism. The religions have already, for thousands of years, they've already had cultures that try to manage the natural greed of humanity. But they're so arrogant that they want to, and pardon me, but I consider myself also part of the European culture, but the European American people, they want to come up with a solution. So this ecocentrism is basically another European solution. But how will all the people of the world listen when the Europeans really cause most of the problems, and then Europeans have this brilliant solution? No. The solution is Vaishnava culture. That's the best solution. It really is. And I have a book here. It's 450 pages. It's impossible to get through. You'll never get through it. So you can look at this as only 100 pages, and it's written in very simple language if you're interested. But the point is that it's supporting the idea that the essence is that you are the environmentalist. Not these idiots who are thinking, excuse my language, I'm from America. Not these idiots who think up these brilliant ideas that will never work. Here's the faith. Excuse me for going. I'll just say half a minute. Now here's the faith that these people have. They have faith in these unproven solutions. They invent unproven solutions, and they're very proud of them. And that's their faith. We have faith in a culture that for thousands of years, and even today, regardless of the materialistic influence, even today, we know we don't have to have faith. Sorry, I said we have faith. We don't have to have faith that the Vaishnava culture is more harmonious with nature than modern culture. We don't need faith. And they say, oh, you people have faith. No. We don't need faith. You can look and see. This is what's happening. You decry faith. I'm sorry. I'm pointing over here as if you were in the materialistic culture. Okay. You have faith that your solutions will work. That's not... Why should you have faith like that? We can criticize their faith, especially since we have a solution that works. We know it works. I remember going to India and eating off leaf plates, and the cows eat the leaf plates, and it's a natural 3 R's, reduce, recycle. The people will never do that. They can't reduce sufficiently. They'll never do it. It's just a slogan that they invented. Some professors get together and they invent this. And those professors, they can't do it. So I'm sorry, I went 5 minutes over. There should be one devotee in the back that says, Prabhu, I have a question. Yes, what's the question? What time is prasadam, Prabhu? No, you're supposed to say, what time is prasadam?
Prasadam is soon.
No, it's it goes to 8:30, the class.
You got another 10 minutes or so.
So I don't need to cut you off?
No, okay. Maybe not. Well, it seems like it's kind of a either or. In other words, if people either attach or accept Vaishnava culture, or they can just, you know, which will reduce, well, everything will be reduced, the greed will be reduced, and so forth. So they can take, that's like the kind of like the pleasant way.
Yes.
Is that right? And then there's the unpleasant way.
Yes.
Well, should they go on consuming in the way they've been consuming and ruining the world, then they'll have to return to this basic life which they're so terrified by.
Yes, and be terrified, commit suicide, suffer, complain, you know, blame the government. The rich will grow richer, the poor will grow poorer, and the people will have riots and revolutions and go on and on in the material world and complain. The worse, you know, the sense gratification is restricted, the more unhappy people get, and then they cause all kinds of problems and have miserable lives. And devotees can learn from this chapter, tapa. This is and Vishnu is tapa. We then can become proud that we're, why not, a little pride that we have austerity, but also enjoy austerity. Austerity can be enjoyable. This is our enjoyment. We're enjoying and they're suffering. And we're saying, oh, please, come enjoy with us. How can you enjoy suffering? What's that? Restriction of sense gratification. What is that? What are you enjoying? Well, we're enjoying the beautiful stories from the Bhagavatam. But those are myths. Well, that's your misfortune. You missed out. You believed in all the stories that didn't give you values. And here we are enjoying like anything the Bhagavatam and the messages that the Bhagavatam delivers. This is our enjoyment. So we should all tell people that we're the real environmentalists and we should all enjoy like anything Krishna consciousness. Cultivate our enjoyment because the soul is such Chit Ananda.
Well, now, you're talking about enjoyment. What sort of enjoyment are you proposing? Just to read books?
Prabhu, we only get one question. He's been my friend since 1973. He can say anything to me, I can say anything to him. In private, excuse me for doing it in public.
So, would you say, thank you, Prabhu, would you say that the world is in a mess because of consumerism? Is that the world is at the state that it's in because of consumerism?
Consumer economy, yes, but we should be careful not to take the socialist solution. I completely reject the socialist solution because it's a materialistic solution. So as soon as you say there's something wrong with the consumer economy, socialists will step forward and say, yes. No, we have the Vaishnava solution.
Well, apparently, well, they'll have a problem because consumerism drives economy. And how can you curve people, the materialistic tendencies of people? Because it drives economy.
Yes. We want the agrarian economy. Prabhupada pushed the agrarian economy, which is villages and local produce. It has cottage industry. It's rural-based. Maybe the villages, few villages, 2-3 villages, they supply a small city. Like in Vrindavan Mathura, and Prabhupada wanted farms to produce for the temples. So this kind of small village, small industry, agrarian economy, it's different from, so that generally the economists say there are three basic economic systems. The traditional economies or agrarian economies, the socialist and capitalist. So agrarian is pretty much out. It's not really in some local areas, but no country is practicing the agrarian type economy. So that leaves capitalists and socialists. So these tend to be materialistic. There's some religious people who practice these, but agrarian economy and kick out the consumer economy. So if you read my book, you'll see that the development, how the consumer economy developed over the years.
Is that agrarian economy coming, you think?
Sorry?
Is it coming? Do you see it coming sometime soon?
It's the natural Vaishnava economy. Mm. It's
I weird. Mean, in terms
we're
of
trying
the
to
influence.
Establish that. We have farms. Mm. We're Shivananda Maharaj and Radhanath Maharaj is Eco Village. We have many attempts to establish farms all over in various centers. It's difficult to go from city life back to this establish it, but this is one of our missions that we're trying to do. And one of the objectives of this environmental push is to appeal to young devotees and collect lots of young devotees. If we have a lot of young energy, just like I see some wonderful young men here, if we have a lot of youthful energy, then hopefully our agrarian projects will be energized. Yes?
I understand it's not the solution, but is there a place for some of the modern eco platforms that exist to be attempting with, you know, not the complete understanding, but is there a place to operate with those platforms, to build relationships, to talk the same story about environmentalism, to make friends, make relationships, and then gradually build up some receptivity for, as you say, presenting our values? But that will come with relationships. Would it be helpful?
Yes, definitely. There are many devotees in ISKCON who are trying to do this. And so there's absolutely value to this perspective. But not me. I'm a revolutionary, and I presented the Vaishnava perspective, which is much more revolutionary, much more confrontational. I would say it's sort of in a different, I feel that in ISKCON it's good to have different sort of strategies for preaching, for outreach, and so but that's good. But it's not my strategy. Yes. Time is up. And yet somebody didn't ask the question. There it is.
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Vaishnavas ki jaya.